Eastman's Yeast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Vallee.
This is Rudy Vallee and Company. We have with us this evening Lila Lee and Robert Armstrong from Hollywood. Milton Berle, star of the Broadway season's first musical show, Saluta. Ferdinand Himmelreich, concert pianist. The Saxon Sisters, most fervent of the warmer rhythm teams. And Cornelia Otis Skinner, distinguished creator of character monologues. In the absence of our Mr. Wallington, our Mr. Grau will repeat. Ben, the names, please.
Cornelia Otis Skinner, the Saxon Sisters, Ferdinand Himmelreich, Milton Berle, Robert Armstrong, and Lila Lee.
Thanks, Ben. Tonight's program is distinguished musically by the inclusion of 3 out of the 5 songs from the Schubert Review, Life Begins at 8:40. It's that old devil moon having his fling once more, selling me spring once more. I'm afraid love is king once more. Fun to be fooled, fun to pretend, this little dream won't end. Using a parody of Pitkin's most successful book as a title, the Schuberts are presenting one of the first of the fall shows. Life Begins at 8:40 with our old friends Bert Lahr, Ray Bolger, Luella Geer, and Francis Williams in the cast. The show opened with glowing notices in Boston last Monday. After the first night, Harold Allen broadcast the stage itself. But we want to thank the Schuberts and the writers, Harold Allen, Ira Gershwin, and E.Y. Harburg, and the publishers for the privilege of being the first to wear them on the network. Allen tunes are always melodic, and the other two boys have done a fine job lyrically. I think you'll agree with me after you hear these 3 songs. This is called Fun to be Fooled. To pretend, fun to believe love is unending. Thought I was done, still it is fun being fooled again. Nice when you tell all that you feel. Nice to be told this is a real thing. Fun to be kissed. fun to exist, to be fooled again. Old Devil Moon having his fling once more, telling me spring once more. I'm afraid love is king once more. Fun to be fooled, fun to pretend, this little dream won't end. Probably no song ever written has been arranged and rearranged so many different ways as Dinah. The Saxon Sisters offer the Al Siegel version of this hardy perennial. These are the Saxon Sisters. Johnson, who is still one of Harlem's contenders for the white man's claim to songwriting fame, he it was who gave us Under the Bamboo Tree that our elders loved to sing, now gives us a tune in the writing of which yours truly played a part, the title, Just an Old Banjo. Rosamond and I dedicated to our pal Eddie Peabody, who is listening in at his Orange Ranch in California. Just an old banjo without any string, and I love it so for the memories it brings. Just an old banjo
that wakes up and sings songs of long ago that I used to know. It seems to me that ghost-like fingers play each melody that dreams and lingers on my old banjo. And oh, how it rings, just an old banjo without any like fingers play each melody that dreams and lingers on my old banjo. And oh, how it rings, just an old banjo without any.
In deference to your insistent demands that we repeat it, here is the latest American rumba. Panama. Insane obsession for that USA possession, and I long for one more session. There were life's a gay procession, Panama. Panama. Darker kind of rum and marijuana's been believed. Four sopranos sing their lurid love, Hosanna's Panama. Drop all worldly topics, come down to those tropics. Kisses taste so sweet in this lovely tree. Heavenly the ladies, heavenly this Hades. Throw your cares away, be happy and live while you may. Panama. If you're seeking inspiration, if you crave a new sensation, though it lacks sophistication, it's the hotspot of creation. Panama. One of my earliest recollections of the legitimate stage is the memory of Robert Armstrong's performance with Jimmy Gleason in Is That So? During his more recent screen career, he has specialized in similar hard-boiled roles. You've seen him lately in King Kong and Palooka. Lila Lee, you remember from Silent Picture Day. After a successful comeback in the talkies, she's returned to New York to appear in a new stage play being produced by Arthur Hopkins this fall. Tonight, you will hear Mr. Armstrong and Miss Lee in a short play called Birds of a Feather. The scene is the office of a private detective agency. As the curtain rises, Dan Arnold, proprietor of the agency, played by Mr. Armstrong, is seated at his desk talking into a dictaphone.
Letter to Reynolds. Mr. George Reynolds, 271 Park Avenue, New York City, New York. My dear Mr. Reynolds, in reply to your letter of yesterday, I wish to say that if you will kindly call at my office at your earliest convenience... Yeah? Who? Never heard of her. She got an appointment? Well, I can't see her, then I'm busy. Yeah? A looker, eh? Good as all that? Okay, darling, never too busy. Send her in. And listen, run off and get yourself a Coke or something, will you, like a good girl?
Mr. Arnold?
That's what it says on the door, sister. Here, park it.
Thanks. You're a detective, aren't you, Mr. Arnold?
There's a rumor to that effect, yeah. What can I do for you?
You can do plenty.
Well, have a cigarette.
That'll do for a start.
Light?
Thanks.
And the name is,
Elliot. Miss Mary Elliot.
Miss Elliot? Then you're not after divorce evidence.
Mm-mm.
Breach of promise, then, huh? All right. Who promised you what and when, sister?
You're still wrong, brother.
You haven't bumped somebody off, Miss Elliot?
No, Mr. Arnold.
You don't want somebody bumped off, maybe?
No, Mr. Arnold.
What do you want, Miss Elliot?
It's about time you stop being cold. I want $10,000.
Riker, I want $1 million in a yacht with a big steam whistle.
Well, I want it $10,000. And, mister, you're going to give it to me.
You're nuts, Miss Elliot.
Oh, no, I'm not, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, yes, you are, Miss Elliot.
Oh, no, I'm not, Mr. Arnold.
Now, what is this, a routine? Listen, lady, will you go out of here under your own steam or will I drop you down an elevator shaft?
I'd advise you not to try it, Mr. Arnold.
When I was just a boy, my father used to say, Dan, if anybody ever tries to give you any advice, don't take it.
I'll bet I'd have loved your father. Right after he said that, I can hear him say, but Danny, if anybody has enough dope on you to send you up the river for 20 years, when they start to talk, you'd better listen.
20 years? It's a long time, sister. They only hand out stretches like that for forgery or blackmail or...
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy?
Ever hear of the Belden divorce, Mr. Arnold?
You know I have.
You made a mistake in the Belden case, fella, and I found the mistake. It's a letter.
A letter?
A letter the district attorney would find very interesting. They tell me he's been trying to get you for a long time.
Tell me more about the letter, lady.
Well, 3 months ago, Matthew Belden fired his very efficient private secretary for no good reason. Being very efficient indeed, she took one last long look through Mr. Belden's confidential file, extracting therefrom certain documents that might be useful to her.
And this letter you speak of, Miss Elliot, was it among these documents?
It was, but it isn't now.
I don't suppose you got this letter with you by any chance.
Do I look that simple? If I had, I suppose you'd knock me cold and get it.
You read me like a book. All right, skip it. Where is the letter?
It's on its way to the district attorney's office. Unless, of course, well, suppose you think it over for a while.
Sure. And while I'm doing my thinking, I'd like to have you ponder over the fact that the penalty for attempted blackmail in this state is from 1 to 20 years.
It should be. It's a contemptible crime. But it certainly isn't a crime for a public-spirited citizen to lay before the authorities certain facts which may be of interest to them.
Unless, of course, another public-spirited citizen gets to her first.
You're wasting your breath.
And explains things
and for her. And hands her $10,000.
And that isn't blackmail. Why, you little chiseler, I wrote the book.
Wait a minute, Mr. Arnold. As I understand the law, it's only blackmail if you can prove that I attempted to extort money from you. And just how can you do that? If you complain, I'll deny the whole thing.
Yeah, and tell him you came in to find out how to keep your little brother from stealing jam. You're a smart girl, Miss Elliott.
Thanks, Mr. Arnold. Do I get the 10,000 in 50s or in 100s?
Listen, lady. It's only blackmail if you can prove it, says you, and you'll deny the whole thing. Just what kind of a sap do you think you're doing business with? I fought my way to the top in a mighty tough racket, and I kept my place after I won it. How? By thinking just a little faster than the other fellow. And now you come in and try and push me around. I'll trouble you for that letter, sister.
Don't try to kid me. I'm into you for 10 grand, and you know it.
I said I'd trouble you for that letter.
Maybe you're smart enough to figure out why I should give it to you.
I'm smart enough to tell you that if you don't kick through with it, your folks will know exactly where to put their hands on you for the next 10 years.
You're bluffing, Mr. Arnold. Keep your hands on top of that desk.
Now, Miss Elliott, you ought to know better than that. Put away the gun. Put it away. What is this, something by Dashiell Hammett?
Keep your hands where I can see them, I said.
Sure. Now, observe closely, my little pigeon. I am holding in my hand a record.
A dictaphone. A dictaphone record. Why, you...
You guessed it. I turned it on when we began to talk. As a result, every detail of our charming little chat has been preserved for posterity. Or for the district attorney, the guy that wants to slap my ears back.
Hand it over. Come on. Hand it over.
Hand it over or you'll shoot, lady?
Yes.
Go ahead. Shoot away. Well, what's the matter?
It isn't loaded.
That's what I thought. I guess I win, sister.
Wait a minute. You turned that record on when we began to talk?
That's right, sweetheart.
Then you're in no position to threaten me.
What do you mean? Why not?
Because the record also sends you up for the Belden thing.
Don't be silly, darling. If you turn me in, I'll turn you in. And I will turn you in just as sure as I'm sitting here.
You wouldn't dare.
Yes, I would, honey. And I can afford better lawyers than you can. Now, listen. So far, this little battle is a draw. You say you got something on me? You know I got the goods on you. So let's make a deal and start all over.
I'm afraid you're right, mister.
Thanks. Now, we're being sensible.
Sensible? I've just thrown away $10,000.
You know, it's too bad you didn't bring the letter with you. We could close this deal right now.
I have the letter. Here it is.
Well, what a lovely little red-headed liar you are, sweetheart.
Thanks. Here, take it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the one, all right. I never should have written it. And now, here's your record. Oh, by the way, would you like to hear it?
Why not? Maybe we can dance to it.
Okay, wait a second.
This is George Reynolds, 271 Park Avenue, New York City, New York. My dear Mr. Reynolds.
Hey, what's this?
It sounds to me like 10,000 bucks, all shut.
Why, you dirty double-crossing...
Nice talk, Miss Elliott.
Oh, I could kill you. What are you smashing the record for?
I'm tired of dictaphone, sweetheart. What I need is a secretary, a private secretary. One I can take out to dinner once in a while. How about it?
Are you offering me a job, Mr. Arnold?
More than that. This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. What do you say, Mary dear?
Okay, Danny boy.
Number two from Life Begins at 8:40, which opened in Boston last week. In typical musical comedy mood, thought and vein is this one, which, like so many other similar efforts, soars to the heights of daydreaming and castle building and back to the simple facts of life and stern reality. And let's take a walk around the block. Places, new lands and new faces, the day we quit punching the clock.
The future looks pleasant, but at present, let's take a walk around the block. You're just the companion I want at Grand Canyon to throw old blades down the rock. The money we have will go for travel. Meantime, let's walk around the block. Gangway, we'll begin when our ship comes in. You'll sit on my lap all over the map. To London in May time, to Venice in play time, to Paris in time for a frock. To Boston in bean time, darling, meantime, let's take a walk around the block.
Freshman Yeast Hour, broadcast from the Variety Theater in Radio City under the direction of Rudy Vallis. Rudy presents Ferdinand Himmelreich, the Saxon Sisters, Cornelia Otis Skinner, Lila Lee, Robert Armstrong, and Milton Berle.
Constant readers of Walter Winchell will remember Walter's recent crack about our next guest. It ran as follows, a two-word description of Milton Berle. Milton Berle. The one and only Berle is being starred in the coming season's first musical show, Saluta, which opens in Atlantic City next week. He is with us tonight to deliver an address on a subject close to his heart, clean entertainment. Mr. Berle, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. And now, citizens, I want to go on record as saying I'm for clean entertainment. First, last, and all the time, I'm for keeping this stage clean.
Okay, Berle, here's the mop. Get to work.
Get out. What are you kidding? That's the trouble, wise guy. The whole trouble. We're not taking this campaign seriously enough. I just got back from Hollywood, and they're not fooling about it out there. No more hot love scenes, no more sex. Every time Greta Garbo has a scene with a man, Shirley Temple's going to play it for her. It's going to be all right. The only real love scenes will be played by the cartoon characters, Mickey and Minnie. And boy, will that be mousy. Thanks, Mom. No kidding. They've got those Hollywood stars so scared that they're only going to make feature pictures. They don't dare appear in shorts. Naturally, the movies are losing money, but no matter what a picture loses, the censor always wants us cut. You take Mae West. You know Mae West. Paramount works for her. Yeah, they got Mae West. They got her playing Little Eva in Uncle Tom's Cabin. I saw her make that scene where Little Eva dies. Oh, it was very touching. Just as she was going up to heaven, she looked down on Uncle Tom and she said, Uncle Tom, come up and see me sometime. I'm no angel. Incidentally, Mae West told me that she's going on the radio. She's going to broadcast for a corset manufacturer. Boy, what a hookup. That's going to be... They even want the movies to cut out all references to beautiful girls in bathing suits. You take it from me. Beautiful girls in bathing suits don't need references. I mean, no fooling. Those new pictures are all going to be great. They've got Burns and Allen in Adam and Eve. In the first scene in the garden, George, who plays Adam, turns to Gracie, who plays Eve, and he says, your teeth are like pearls and your cheeks are like red apples. Then Eve says, oh, go on, Adam. I'll bet you tell that to all the girls. the only actress that they're not bothering out there is Sally Rand. I mean, fooling around with a fan dance is ticklish business. And Shirley Temple, she's making a cute picture. They call it Dorella. Yeah, that's it, Dorella. It's taken from the book Cinderella. But, of course, they've taken the sin out, you know what I mean? Some of those old pictures were great. I mean, you know, like Catherine Hartburn, Spitfire. I'll tell you, the one picture that they did okay was that House of Rothschild. Everybody says I look like the star of that picture. I must look like him, because when I was born, my father pointed at me and said, das ist alles. I'm not kidding.
Well, Milton, your father's right.
Hello, Grower. You're taking Wallington's place. This is hot. It's too hot in the studio. Let's knock off and go to an ice cream parlor.
But can't you go alone? What do you want me with you for?
I promised my doctor I'd get him malted milk with an egg.
Well, now, look here. Don't call me an egg.
Why?
Well, you're just jealous because everybody compliments me on my teeth.
Yeah?
Don't you like my teeth?
Of course I like your teeth. Didn't I tell you to buy them? And by the way, Ben, didn't I see you in one of those automatic restaurants today?
Never been there.
You know where you put in a dime, you take a ham sandwich out of prison?
Well, I've never been there.
I was there. Very good food, very economical, and very reasonable. I got to tell you, I was walking around with a tray in my hand, and I bumped into a fella. I said, I beg your pardon. So the fella looked at me and says, if you're so darn polite, why don't you eat in Child's? I don't know. I mean, that's the breaks I get. I don't eat in expensive restaurants. Every time I go to an expensive restaurant, it costs me $60 or $70 for a steak.
$60 or $70 for steak?
Yeah, all my friends gather around. They say, steak me to 10, steak me to 20, steak me to 50. But I got to tell you, as I was coming out of that restaurant, a panhandler stopped me. And he said, buddy, can you spare 15 cents? Down the street, I can get a full-course dinner for a dime. I said, a dime? Then what do you want the other nickel for? He said, how about the bicarbonate of soda? What'd you move, Mom? By the way, Ben, I forgot to tell you, I was down at the beach yesterday.
You were down at the beach?
Yeah.
Well, what happened to your tan?
I changed it for 2.5. Will you leave me alone, please? All of a sudden, while I was down at the beach, a lady started to holler. She said, save me, save me. I'm the mother of 18 children. I said, lady, I'll save you, but this is no time to brag. I mean, I'm not kidding.
Okay, hey, Milton,
what is it?
I've got my own troubles, I'm telling you, really. I was married last week.
Yeah?
Yes, I just married a girl who works in Macy's.
Is that the one I saw you with yesterday?
Yeah, why?
You could have done better at Gimbel's.
Talk about girls. I gotta tell you, I've got the girl, Benny. She's a screen actress. We've been engaged for 6 weeks.
Did you kiss her yet?
No, but I bet I could. Yesterday, I presented her with a diamond ring, a gorgeous diamond ring.
You did, eh? Well, tell me. Tell me, what's the ring like?
Just like a real one.
Say, look, Milt, you know a lot about movie actors.
You bet I do.
Tell me, how is it so many actresses divorce their husbands and then later remarry them? I don't understand it.
Haven't you ever heard of retakes? But nobody loves me. Nobody pays me.
Well, if you need money, I'll tell you how to make some.
How
quick.
Will I make some money?
Handle Primo Carnera for his comeback against Bear.
Yes?
Carnera says next time he'll get him.
Oh, yeah?
Well, don't you be. What, he got that? Armstrong, oh, yeah. Sure, he'll get him. Canary's a swell guy. He weighs 287 pounds and his father weighs 104. Which just goes to prove Canary's just a block off the old ship.
Say, is it true Canary's gone on the stage?
Well, he was halfway there. He had his foot in the cast. But, Ben, I'd handle Canary if Mussolini asked me. There's one fella, Mussolini, I'd do anything in the world for. Except play cards with.
You wouldn't play cards with Mussolini?
No, not me.
Well, why not?
With Mussolini, a deuce is higher than a king. And not only that, but I gotta tell you, Mussolini is a great inventor. He's invented a dress that shows the boys if a girl pets.
A dress that shows if a girl pets?
Yeah, V-neck.
Burl, how did you ever get on this program?
I don't know. All right, Ben, Milton is here by my invitation. In fact, I demanded him.
Rudy's right. I'm here BVD, by Valley's demand. I forgot to tell you, Rudy, the 5 and 10 cent store want to thank you for the plug.
What plug?
You're singing their theme song, My Dime is Your Dime. But you're just the fella I've been looking for. I got to ask you, Rudy, could you introduce me to a cute little girl who pets a little?
I know a cute little girl, but she only pets animals.
That's all right, Rudy. I'll be the goat. You know, I love animals. Rudy, I love animals. I was up to the zoo yesterday, and I love to watch them at feeding time. So I said to the keeper, I said, what time does the skunk eat? He said, any time you get hungry.
But Milton, you're getting away from your subject. What we want to know is, are you against this new cleanup campaign, or are you in favor of it?
Rudy, I'm in favor of it. I think it's a grand thing, and I'm for it 100%. And I think every decent and right-thinking American citizen is with me. The only thing I ever opposed to were those old blue laws we used to have.
The blue laws?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you why. The old blue law, Rudy, was just a black idea conceived by a lot of pale-faced people with yellow streaks that were green with envy of the people who were trying to enjoy the pink of life, and they were trying to cast a black cloud without a silver lining over blue-blooded citizens, and they were trying to make white men see red. That's a blue law. Come on, Ma, let's go home.
Probably be the hit song of Life Begins at 8:40, the Schubert Review, which moves into New York next week for, we all hope, a long run. The hit song and a most tuneful one from the pens of Messrs. Arlen, Gershwin, Ira, not George, and Harburg. A lovely thing you'll all be humming soon. What can you say in a love song that hasn't been said before? Before. you are my true love, old and new love. I live for you, love. You are my guiding star. Lovers long before us sang the same old chorus. If it worked in days of yore, why should I say in a love song what hasn't been said before? If it worked in days of yore, why should I say in a love song what hasn't been said before? If you were a phonograph enthusiast, as I was in the days before radio grew so important, you'll remember the immensely popular piano records made by Ferdinand Himmelreich. It wasn't until I met Mr. Himmelreich quite recently that I learned that he is almost totally blind, requiring the intense illumination of spotlights directed in the keyboard in order to play. When his failing eyesight made further piano study impossible, Mr. Himmelreich devoted himself to composition. Aided by a natural improvising talent, he has produced many interesting variations of standard works. You will hear tonight his arrangement of the Sextet from Lucia, Mr. Ferdinand Himmelreich. Thank you. your ship went out, you said goodbye to a girl who loved you dearly, a girl to whom you gladly pledged your heart. When your ship comes in, you'll say hello to 100 lovely ladies, but here's a little warning at the start. Sailor, beware, there's a girl you left behind you who is saving a welcome caress. Sailor, beware, don't you dare let others bind you with the charms that their arms might possess. Keep her very near, although you are apart. The only port for you is the haven of her heart, for she's true to you. So you sailor, don't you fail or have a care, Mr. Sailor, beware. We introduce now Miss Cornelia Otis Skinner, writer and actress, creator of a gallery of character portraits and monologues, daughter of the celebrated actor Otis Skinner. As a band leader who aims someday to be an actor himself, I have been fascinated by the perfection of Miss Skinner's method in these character sketches, the quiet ease with which she scores her effects. For tonight's program, she has chosen, at my urgent request, a sketch I have heard her do on the air last winter. Miss Cornelia Otis Skinner.
This is called Nurse's Day Out. It represents a mother taking care of her baby the first day the nurse goes out. Hello, Nan. Am I frightfully late? Oh, I'm so sorry. I stopped for a bite of lunch at the club and they were so slow. Oh, darling! Then I got caught in a traffic jam. I suppose you've been waiting for me. Oh, that's too bad, Nana. You can go off earlier next Wednesday. I wanted to be on time, too. My first day taking care of him.
Well, darling, Mummy's going to take care of her own true love.
Has he had his bottle?
He has, and he's finished it all. Well, I'll take him and get the bubble up. Come to your mummy, my baby.
Oh, so sweet. So sweet today, I say. You go on out, Nana. We're going to be all right. Oh, yes, I understand everything. He goes right to sleep now, doesn't he? No, I knew that. I just wanted to make sure. Now, you go on out, have a good time. You'll be all right.
Well, darling, isn't this fun? All alone with your mummy. All alone with your own...
Oh, darling, you mustn't cry. Oh, there's nothing to make you cry. Shh, shh. Look at all the pretty things. Look at that light. Isn't that the prettiest light? Nana! Nana, have you gone out yet? Well, could you come back a minute?
Well, he's such a little bit of a man. I don't know what he's crying for.
Nana, I'm terribly sorry, but he's crying. Well, you don't think he's got a pain, do you? There, he stops. He stops just as soon as you come into the room.
Oh, he hasn't a pain. He couldn't have.
Now, you go on up, Nana. We'll be all right.
Have a good time. Well, you're going to be a good boy, aren't you? Yes. You're going to be the best boy in...
Oh, my God, Nana! Nana, don't come back, but you don't think he's got a pin sticking in him, do you? What, Nana? Shh, baby. What, Nana? Shh, baby. Shall I look? Well, no, never mind. We'll be all right, I guess. You go on out, have a good time. Now, buck up, old fella, buck up. Nana says there's nothing to make you cry. Oh, dear, I wonder. Yes, I guess you need to be. Now, let me see. Well, I'll put you on the chair. Now, where on earth is that? Nana! I guess she's gone out. Elma! Elma, do you know where Nana keeps the... Never mind, I found them. Oh, it's all right. Just a minute, darling. Mummy's going to make a bunny all sweet and clean. Now, I wonder if it's lengthwise. No, it can't be. How the devil? Elma! Elma, could you come here a minute? Well, just a minute, darling. Elma, I'm terribly sorry, but do you know how to fold those things? Oh, would you mind? You see, it's my first day taking care of him, and I'm not quite sure... Well, I never knew it was as easy as all that. Thank you, Elma. No, you go on back to the kitchen. We'll be all right. Now he's a good boy. Now he's stopped crying. He's laughing. He's laughing at his mummy. He thinks his mummy's so funny. Well, mummy's nose itches. Isn't that funny? And what have you got on your face? Oh, you have a little rough place on your face. We'll put some Albaline on that.
put some albaline on the baby's face and make him all sweet and soft. Now, oh, dear, the powder. I forgot the powder. And it's just out of reach. Now, baby, don't you move. Don't you move. Don't you... Oh, now we'll start all over again. Well, I don't know what's wrong with it. I don't know why Mummy isn't just as good as that. Baby, if you wouldn't kick so, it would be a great help. Now, stop it. Stop it. Hold your feet still and keep them down here. Baby, you'll get a pin stuck in you if you don't stop kicking. Elma! Elma, help. Elma, I'm terribly sorry, but just this once, do you think you could help me pin this? He kicks so, and I don't want to have to kneel on him. Well, don't you want me to hold his feet? All right, you do that, and I'll straighten up his bassinet. He's supposed to be asleep now. Isn't that cunning? He's just as good as gold with you. I don't know why he's so bad with his mother. I'm afraid he's going to be a real problem child. Aren't you wonderful, Elma? You did that so quickly. You see, you're Swedish. You're calm. But he smells funny. What are you talking about? Why, he does. He smells like a fish. What do you think makes him smell like that? I haven't put anything on him. He had a little rough place on his face, so I put some albaline on it. Oh, good Lord, Elma, I put cod liver oil. Well, he doesn't seem to mind. We'll just leave it there. It can't hurt him. Well, darling, are you ready to be put down? Are you ready to be put sleepy byes? Apparently nothing could be farther from his thoughts. But, darling, you've got to have your nap. Yes, now lie down. Lie down like a big man, turn over on your tummy and go right to sleep. Isn't that awful? You wouldn't think anything so little could make so much noise. No, I don't approve of rocking at all. No, the modern theory is that rocking's very bad for children. It affects their brains. Of course, my mother rocked me, but still. Now, darling, you're kind of overdoing this. Shh, I'll pat him just a little, can't hurt that. Rock-a-bye, baby. Oh, shut up, you little devil. What, Elma? Oh, do you think you could? Well, if you wouldn't mind trying. You see, I'm so nervous with him, and he senses it. He's like a horse. You might, well, don't exactly rock him, but just a little motion, sort. That's it. Very quiet. You certainly know how, don't you, Elma? Have you ever had a baby? You're just a born nurse, aren't you, Elma? Is he going off? He's getting down. Did he see? Shh. Isn't that cat? You know, I'm not going to mind the nurse's day out at all. I've always said that the women who take care of their own babies are much the happiest. Elma, I'm going to lie down now and take a nap. And will you watch him? And if the telephone rings, will you take any messages for him?
Fleischman hour of variety. The makers of Fleischman's yeast were, of course, among the first to sign the president's reemployment agreement. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.